You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
And welcome to the Daily Traditionalist. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, and today's date is the 5th of April 2017. I'm very pleased to welcome back on the show Doc Savage from Mysterium Fasces. Doc Savage, how are you doing today?
Very good, sir. Very good to be here.
Excellent. I'm very glad that you're able to make it today, and I quite enjoyed the podcast last week, and we got a lot of positive comments for it as well. I've had having quite a good day today. It's been quite hilarious on watching the BBC News. It's all been about Ken Livingstone. He's a Labour Party MP. I don't know if you remember a news story a year ago, I think it was, and this other Labour Party MP, this other Gentile Labour Party MP, went wild at him, accusing him of being a racist and an anti-Semite, and he was just like a rabid dog attacking Ken Livingstone. And Ken Livingstone had said that Hitler worked with the Zionist Jews back in the 30s to transfer them from Germany to Palestine. That was all he said, and the Jews went absolutely wild about this, demanding his head.
I remember this, and it's so bizarre what's happening, because doesn't everyone know that Germany and the Third Reich and Hitler were trying to get any Jews out of Germany any way they could? Like, there's the whole failed Madagascar plan. Is it anti-Semitic to mention the Madagascar colony plan?
I guess so. I think we were all supposed to believe that he just wanted to save them all up for gassings, I think.
We're supposed to believe that he was trying to keep them there for some reason. I don't understand. Yeah, absolutely.
But they've gone absolutely wild about it, these Jews did, and they demanded that there was an investigation. It's taken them 11 months to investigate him, and he's been suspended all this time, and he's had a court hearing, 20 hours worth of court hearings, that was held in private. It was held in secret so that the public couldn't actually see, and eventually they've dropped this charge of anti-Semitism, and they're now saying that he's brought the Labour Party into disrepute. They've suspended him for another year, and all the chief rabbi of Britain is absolutely furious, and I can't work out whether it's a he or a she, because these rabbis are quite progressive. You see, they have female ones as well as male ones, but this chief rabbi has said that all the Jews now have to leave the Labour Party, because the Labour Party is no longer secure for Jews. It's no longer safe for Jews in the Labour Party. They might actually hear some historical truths. And Ken Livingstone, and he's not being shy about this, every time he's being interviewed, he is repeating what he said, because he's been cast as if he said that Hitler was a Zionist, which is not what he said. He said that Hitler worked with the Zionists to transfer the Jews from Germany to Palestine, probably about 66,000 of them. And every time I hear him repeat this, you can just see the journalists cringing, and I could just imagine all these Jews clapping their hands over their ears so they don't actually hear it. They can't bear to hear this truth, because everyone's supposed to think that he just wanted to murder them all. It's
right.
It's great to see. Really good to see.
How do you like that headline that I was reading? It was something like, the chief rabbi says that Labour has failed the Jews. So are you saying that Labour belonged to the Jews? Like,
yeah, they are pretty much saying that. They are saying that they started the Labour Party, that it's their influence, it's their Labour Party, and it's been hijacked by these anti-Semites. And of course, Ken Livingstone, he's a complete anti-racist. So this is really highlighting to people the nonsense that is racism and anti-Semitism. All it is there for is to protect these minority groups from criticism. And I mean, this isn't even criticism. This is just a historical fact. Ken Livingstone hasn't placed any judgment on this whatsoever. He hasn't said this was negative of the Jews for working with Hitler, or this was negative of Hitler for working with them. It's just a historical fact that people should know about, and Jews know about this. It's just these establishment Jews, the media Jews, that really cannot stand to hear this, because it shakes their narrative that all Hitler wanted to do was just kill all the Jews and gas all the Jews. And of course, it shows you that that isn't true. If he was prepared to remove them from Germany to Palestine, then why didn't these Jews move to any other countries? I think that's what they don't want people asking. Why didn't these other countries want the Jews? People don't want Jews in their countries because they know what they're going to be like. They know what they're going to do to their country. They're going to introduce pornography. They're going to introduce usury. They're going to demand more and more immigration, more people come in there, more refugees. They're going to take over the government, take over the banks, take over the media, take everything over. And so people don't want them in their countries. I mean, just look at what the Jews have done to Palestine since they've actually been there. If you want an example of what Jews do, if you don't believe that it's the Jews behind all the problems that we have in our own countries, there's another story that I just recently saw just before we came on air, that the Shomrim, and that's this Jewish vigilante group that dress up in police officers' clothing, that pretend to be the police. They're now working with the Muslims to protect mosques, apparently. And this is being portrayed as something surprising, that this Shomrim group are going to be working with the Muslims. But it's not a surprise. Jews have worked with Muslims for the last 1400 years.
Exactly. Anyone with a passing familiarity of the history of Spain could tell you that this is nothing new. You know, the way that Spanish Jews both worked within the Emirates as tax collectors and officials, and then later after the Reconquista, how the fathers of the Jewish community worked with agents of the Moors to ferment revolt and bring in provoke an invasion from Morocco.
They will work together. They'll work together against us. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a Muslim vigilante police group. We won't ever have any police that are specifically there to look out for white people, though.
Oh, no, that would be that would be fascism, don't you know?
But it just shows you the level of power that they have in our community, that they can have their own police force. We're not even allowed to wear uniforms. We're not even allowed to have a political group that wears two pieces of clothing that's the same, because that's too close to a uniform. And yet the Jews are allowed to dress up as police and pretend to be police and have pretty much the same powers as the police. They can hold people and detain them and arrest people. And yet their whole reason for being is to look out for anti-Semitic crime. So it's just to look out for harm to the Jews or people criticizing the Jews, looking out for anything that Jews don't like. With the new definition of anti-Semitism, it's just anything a Jew doesn't like. If a Jew doesn't like what you say, and you may be saying something nice about the Jews, but he may say, well, I don't like that, so it's anti-Semitism. And that's the new definition, the new working definition of anti-Semitism that we have here in Britain, and that they're trying to push through in America. It's just been very funny to actually watch this on the news today with Ken Livingstone, because he has repeated it two or three times, and I hope he repeats it some more. Go on.
You know, that brings up an interesting thought. I remember one of the first things that moved me in this direction was watching a talk by Bishop Williamson, and he was discussing how the Holocaust has become a religion in Western countries, and the Jews now are a stand-in for the sacrificial victim, a stand-in for Christ, and anything that is quote unquote anti-Semitic, it's not just racism. What they're really accusing you of is heresy, is witchcraft, basically. And that's where the sort of the mania and the crazed, rabid denunciations come from.
Well, it is. It's become a dogma, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, we have to choose, you know. I mean, and isn't that what Jesus tells us? What our Lord tells us is, you know, it's choose me or the other master, and you ain't gonna like him.
Well, we're also told not to pay any heed to Jewish fables. So they're obviously Jews making stuff up back then. If it tells us in Titus not to pay any attention to Jewish fables, and the Holocaust is just a complete Jewish fable. And once you look into it, once you start looking for any genuine evidence, you find that there's not even one autopsy report of anyone gassed. This 6 million figure, they were using that in the early 20th century, 30 or 40 years before the war. If you look through all the memoirs of Winston Churchill and all the main people involved, all the main characters involved in the war, you won't find one mention of gas chambers. If you look for the evidence for the gas chambers at Auschwitz, they built a huge great chimney outside that's not even connected to the cremation ovens. And that's all they were using there, cremation ovens. And cremation ovens can only burn a certain amount of content per day, per hour. I forget what it is, but it's literally only about a dozen bodies a day that they could actually cremate. Certainly not 6 million. And as far as burying them outside, how could they bury them outside when they've got a well outside? It would have poisoned the well. And then you've got, I forget his name now, that the famous gas chamber expert from America, Fred Leuchter. He went out and tested the walls, tested them for cyanide to see how much cyanide that was there. And the amount of cyanide that was in the walls was only consistent with one room being used for defumigating clothing. And that certainly wasn't alleged as being a gas chamber. That was for defumigating clothing so that the inmates of the work camp didn't all die of typhus. And the room which supposedly was used as a gas chamber, it didn't have any, didn't test positive at all. It had just had trace elements of cyanide. It's all a total fantasy that is just used to make the Jews out to be the eternal victim, this special people that we cannot ever criticize and we must bow down to and worship. Bishop Williamson is entirely correct. Basically, the Jews have taken the place that Christ used to hold in our hearts. We used to bow down to Christ, and now we bow down to the Jews. And it used to be a heresy to denounce Christ, denounce the resurrection, denounce Mary, the Mother of God. And now it's a heresy to say that you don't believe in gas chambers, or you don't believe in soap, lampshades. And just, again, the BBC this week, they're running an interview. It's a black female that's doing the interview, and she's interviewing one of the prosecutors from the Nuremberg trials. And this prosecutor is now nearing 100. And he's saying as how he helped to liberate one of these camps, and all the bodies were lined up there, and the SS were shoveling the bodies into the cremation ovens and into the gas chambers, and they'd all been, and he was describing how they used the bodies for making soap and they used the ashes for making fertilizer. It's a complete fairy tale that this prosecutor is recounting in this interview. The idea that the Germans turned the Jews into soap has been discredited. It's been admitted by the Holocaust museums themselves that this was just made up. And yet this prosecutor, this is a guy that helped to prosecute the Germans, is still repeating this lie to this day. And he admits that he tortured the Germans to get the confessions out of them. And then he says, but I had to threaten them with death because otherwise they would lie. I had to say, if you lie, I'm going to shoot you. But if what he actually thinks is the truth is a lie, which is that they turned the Jews into soap, then quite clearly, by his own admission, he was forcing them to lie by threatening them with death. It was quite shocking for me to see that, Doc, because I thought that the myth of the turning the Jews into soap. I thought that had been completely finished with. I knew that was discredited, and I really didn't think that anyone today would still be promoting that. But this prosecutor actually was still promoting it.
Well, we're not dealing with facts or figures or history here. We're dealing with mythology, with faith. You know, this is their religion. And they're, even if we can prove to them that white is white and black is black, they're still going to insist that it's the other way around. You know, there's no cure for that, but comes in 9mm.
Well, they're still promoting these gas chamber stories today, but in 2017, aren't they, with Syria at the moment, talking about
Absolutely. Yeah, it's the same old story, isn't it?
How Assad is, for no reason whatsoever, has just decided to drop loads of chemical weapons and gas on Idlib province. They keep pushing this narrative. They're just having a UN meeting today to come to a resolution that they must stop Assad. And this is all going straight in the face of fact. The facts are that the Syrian army bombed a terrorist stronghold that was a weapons dump. And the reason for them bombing it was because they had been sending weapons from Idlib to Iraq. And the Iraqi government have confirmed this, that chemical gas weapons were being shipped from Idlib to Iraq. So when they bombed that weapons dump, of course there was gas that came out, the chlorine gas or have you, and it's the same gas that they found when they bombed Aleppo a while back. And yet the British, the Americans, the EU, they're all completely ignoring these facts that Russia have provided. And the reason for this is because if they didn't deny it, they would have to accept that the people that they have been backing were the ones using the gas. So the EU and America and Britain, they don't really, you know, they've really been put on the spot by this. They either have to lie and make out that it's Bashar al-Assad with no evidence, or they have to admit that they've been backing terrorists that use gas and they've been wrong all along. So again, it's been very entertaining to see them trying to deny the actual truths of this, because I think people can see, I mean, it's just logical, isn't it? Why would Bashar al-Assad want to start gassing his people when he's already won the war?
Yeah, the time, if he was going to use chemical weapons, like, admittedly, I think we would both agree that his father did. It would have been at the beginning of the conflict when a single sharp use of force, massive overwhelming force, would have stopped the conflict dead in its tracks and prevented any further loss of life. But that's not what happened. And to say that he's gonna pull out all the stops now that he's won and just start, it doesn't make sense. And as we know, if it doesn't make sense, it's probably not true.
Well, the chemical weapons were also inspected by America and by Russia last year. So if he is using chemical weapons, then you could say, well, that's America's fault then, because why didn't America find them? They investigated, they worked with Syria to defuse or stand down all the chemical weapons, and they signed a thing at the end of it to say that there were no chemical weapons left. So if there are chemical weapons there,
I was terribly surprised. Sorry. I was terribly surprised that whoever in our government in Washington is pushing this didn't think about that angle. Like it, this could only blow up in your face if you push it this way. And of course it has.
Well, it's not all bad news from America and Britain. We've got some good news from America in one of those links that you sent me yesterday, Doc, about Donald Trump's the measures that he's taking against the immigration. I believe illegal immigration is now 67% down in America. Is that true?
Well, that's what is being reported in the Washington Times. Illegal immigration across the southwest border is down more than 60% so far under President Trump, officials revealed Tuesday, even before the first new agent is hired or the first mile of the promised border wall is constructed. And I think that just speaks to perception being reality for the vast majority of people. if it is perceived that that Obama, Papa Obama, is no longer in office to take care of us, then maybe it's better just to stay here.
Well,
they do.
Well, I noticed as well in that article, it was saying that because people keep saying that, oh, it's going to be no good with a wall, you don't need a wall isn't actually going to stop them. In the one area where they did put a wall up, it stopped them dead in their tracks. They were getting thousands of arrests each year, and they got no arrests. They were intercepting thousands of drugs and weapons, and now they're not stopping any. None are trying to get through. I think once that wall is up, that's going to be a big visual reminder to people that there is a barrier between America and South America, and that America doesn't want any more Mexicans coming into the country. It's going to be a big symbol of sovereignty for America. So the fact that they're already stopping coming in before he's even made a start on the wall, I mean, that is a really positive sign, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, like, any of these people coming over, you know, if they're any good to their home country, then Mexico should be scrambling to keep them, as many of them as possible. Of course, that's not necessarily true, but human nature is human nature, right?
Well, I think it makes it safer for Mexico as well if there's a border there, because if there isn't a border there, then the villages on the other side of the border have to put up with all these troublemakers making their way through, all the drug dealers, all the gun runners making their way through their towns to get over the border. Once there is a secure border there and people stop trying to break through it, then those towns are going to have a lower level of crime. So it's really in Mexico's best interests, as well as America's best interest, to have a border. It's the same everywhere. It's in the best interests of every nation in the world to have a secure border and not to allow other races in, because you're just setting yourself up for trouble. If you have two different peoples within one territory, eventually one of those peoples is going to try and conquer the other. That's what civil war is. And civil war can be just between the same ethnicity, but a different religion or a different way of looking at things politically, let alone different ethnicities entirely. If you put two ethnicities within one space, one of them's going to eventually obliterate the other or enslave the other. It's just the law of life, isn't it? The survival of the fittest. The fittest group is going to survive, and it's going to subjugate the other group. And through doing that, we progress, we advance, we come out with technological advances to defend ourselves from these other groups. If you look at so much of our science, it comes from defense and military defense, and it's all about protecting yourself from these other groups. And we seem to have lost the most basic ideas about survival as a nation in the last 100 years. Of course, we know why. It's through the subversion of our education and the subversion of our media by people who do not have our best interests at heart, that wish to subjugate us. The Jews have been trying to subjugate us ever since they put Christ on the cross. They've been trying to subjugate Christians and do away with Christianity. And it's only in the last 100 years that the word Christianity has become divorced from the white race. So I'm not sure that it actually is. It seems to be divorced in some white nationalist minds, but in the mind of the Muslim and in the mind of the Jew, when they think of Christianity, when they think of Christendom, they think of Europe. And that's what they want. That's what they want to take out. That's what they want to destroy. Christendom, us.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm a big fan of Hilaire Belloc, and I would have to agree that Europe is the faith, and the faith is Europe. And I know that doesn't make me a lot of friends in certain circles, but I have to call it as I see it.
Well, it's central to Europe, I think. And one country that is still proud to be Christian is Hungary. We've got some good news from Hungary today for you as well. Viktor Orban is passing a bill to close a huge Soros university that they've got there. Now, I didn't know this was possible, According to this bill, it bans organizations that don't actually have a home country from setting up universities in the country. Now, I didn't know that foreign countries or foreign organizations could set up universities in a country anyway. This is the first I've heard of this. Well, what do you know about this, Doc?
Well, unfortunately, very little. I queued in onto the story because, of course, George Soros is involved. And then I saw that it was Hungary, and I said, oh, this is going to be good. So apparently, during the Wild East period, after the sort of the fall of the old Cold War order in Eastern Europe, it looks like the oligarchy could do whatever it wanted to and could buy anything it wanted to. And so Soros bought a university. At least that's what it looks like to me at first blush. And if Viktor Orban is pushing to get Soros out of involvement in universities, that's all to the good. I know we don't uncritically like Orban, but you know, if he's doing something good, then I support that.
Well, it seems to be the same as with Putin. I mean, Putin isn't perfect, but when you compare a lot of the policies that Russia has to the policies that we have in Europe, he's amazing. And when you compare some of the policies that Orban has to the policies that we have in Britain, then Orban is really good. But I know personally that there are Hungarians that dislike Viktor Orban, that don't think he's any good. But he seems to be one of the most outspoken heads of European countries against immigration, against Soros, and particularly linking Soros with the immigration into the country. And that university must be turning out cultural Marxist brainwashed students that they then try to put into politics. Because one of the reasons that the people that are against the closing of this university are saying are that it will shut down criticism of the government. So it's obviously globalist New World Order criticism of Orban's nationalist government that he has, that this Fidesz party has, because he is a nationalist, and he's close to an ethnic nationalist. He says he doesn't want the Hungarians to be replaced by another ethnicity. And he speaks up for Christianity as well, and the Christian traditions of Europe and of Hungary in particular. So if this university is particularly critical of that, then of course he's going to want to remove it from his country. Orban does seem to do a lot of good things. I'd like to see him meet up with Donald Trump. I know he's supported Donald Trump right from the beginning, even from before Nigel Farage was supporting Trump. So it would be very good to see the pair of them meet up. I've got a funny news story here that we can finish the podcast with, that I just saw this just before we went on air. Shia LaBeouf, who listeners are probably well aware of with his "he will not divide us" nonsense with his flag, his film Man Down opened in Britain over the weekend, and it sold one ticket. Opening weekend, and it sold one ticket at the cinema. It made exactly £7 for him, which is approximately $10. Which shows you just what a washed-up personality Shia LaBeouf is. And yeah, this has got to be a record, I think. The lowest box office takings ever for Shia LaBeouf. His credibility is entirely shot with his criticism of Trump, I think.
The only word here is Schadenfreude, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. The pleasure we take in others' misfortunes, because they have earned it so much.
He has well earned it, hasn't he? It's been very entertaining, yeah. Stealing his flag and watching people mocking and ridiculing him on that video that he had in New York. And I think this is just icing on the cake that his career is now all washed up as well. I don't know, do you follow the movies much, Doc? Do you know whether this film did any good at the box office in America or not?
I'm not a close box office watcher, but I mean, just going off what I'm reading in this article, there's no reason to expect it's going to make any money here either. I mean, Americans like typically American movies. Like if I say American movie and you think explosions and action heroes and gunfire, you're absolutely correct. If you don't have those things, you're not gonna make money at the box office.
Well, it's like a lot of these Oscars films, isn't it, now, that are just full of diversity. They don't actually make any money at all. And the whole point of the film is just to promote cultural Marxism, promote feminism, promote diversity and equality and all that nonsense that people don't want to see. They just want to see gunfire, explosions, and excitement. That's what we want. That's what we try to provide you here at the Daily Traditionalist anyway. Doc Savage, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, hopefully, with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. If not, I'm sure I'll be able to find another good co-host to entertain you. Keep your ears locked to Radio Arium, because we've got lots of good podcasts for you for the rest of the day. So have a great day, and hail victory.
Tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.